Om Shanti, good morning everyone. And welcome to this special 3-day course with Brother Anthony. I don't think Brother Anthony needs an introduction. We're all familiar with many books that he's written and everyone has always enjoyed his classes. I think he was one of the first souls to share classes on how to give the course. I particularly remember that. So it's lovely that you've given the time to be with us and that we can really go in depth with the subject of yoga. Just one or two practical things before I ask Brother Anthony to continue. Could everyone please switch off your cell phones or put it on silent mode, please, so that there's no disturbance. And I think the translators are up there, so I don't have the frequencies. Okay. And then there's also a registration form that's going around, so if you could just fill in your name and country and pass it on to the person next door, and I'll take it at the end of the session. Okay. So thank you very much.
Hello, Om Shanti. Good morning. Is the translation working? It's okay. So again, Om Shanti. And welcome to this course on God, the God course. But you've already been on the course with God for a long time, so I'm sure you know many, many things. Just to give you an idea of the spirit of this course, it's not actually just to keep giving other ideas and information, because I feel that we already know a lot, but to be able to understand what introspection, solitude, the way of thinking, how to concentrate, these are the things, these are the subtle techniques of mind and intellect that I need to use. Otherwise, no matter how much knowledge I may have or how many books I may have read, they will not actually give me the experience that empowers. The understanding had to be there, but the listening had to be there, but now it's the time to really be empowered, and that happens through experience. Next Sunday's Muli, the 29th, it's the 29th, I think, isn't it? Next Sunday. That's going to, it's an Aviyat Muli of 77. It's going to have some of these things mentioned about the role of knowledge and the role of experience. And Baba in that Muli is saying that actually, really, we have to pay so much inner attention to have that experience. And you know, there are traditions like Buddhism, you know, that speak of mindfulness, of inner awareness, in order to reach that stage of pure awareness, pure experience. Unfortunately, what happens to a lot of us is the rushing around for service or for other things. Rushing for service or battling with sanskaras. And so when that happens, then there's not much energy left for anything else. And so let's look at some of the things that can help us really get deep into this inner solitude. So today, as like in every day, there'll be some personal reflection questions. And please do not think that these require answers. The questions are not for answers. The questions are for stimulating my intellect to move in different directions. Re-questioning myself about God, about what I think I know. Because a good question to yourself and to take the time to be able to clarify for the self. So I didn't want to, and also though I'm you'll have opportunity also to ask me questions, but you know, just I'll tell you in advance, I don't have the answer. I have part maybe of an answer. Clarification. So we've called it, that session, questions and clarifications. But that's for you. But also for your own self, these questions will clarify things. And it's so important, slowing down. Slow down. You know, usually when we get some questions, we think, oh, well, it's free time. But that's one very part of this course is actually being able to go really into that space of solitude and reflecting on what that question, what that means to me. So today we'll look also at the difference of formula thinking, reflective thinking and contemplative thought. Because I think really we're not at that level of contemplative thought, of that deep inner connectedness and remembrance that makes experience and creates experience. You see, when I am experienced in love of God, when I'm experiencing the peace of God.
Russian translation is 103.9 for Russian.
When I have that experience deep within myself of divine love, divine peace, as my reality, I don't get deceived by Maya. There's not the deception and there's no doubts. Knowledge will not do that work. Knowledge is the springboard and I need that springboard. But what I have to give my time to is solitude, inner attentiveness. But the problem is there's always one service program after another service program. And so the stage of the self, the stage of consciousness, starts to go down. I think I get my value from the results in service. I think I get my value from the blessings I may be given. But that's not what it's about. What Baba wants me to be is me. The unique actor, the unique child, the unique friend. And he said in the Muli, didn't he? He says, oh, I feel lonely without the children. I feel lonely without the friends because, you know, confluence age is when God is accessible. You know, people have been looking for this divine being for a few thousand years and they've made up all kinds of stories. Sometimes that even continues, sometimes in the Brahmin family, but I've always got to go back to basics. And well, for me anyway, my experience has been, because I was quite a big bugger before Gyan and sort of looking here, looking there, doing this, doing that. But then I found out that God really becomes accessible, first of all with some basic knowledge and then in very, very deep silence. Although I'm, you know, how do you teach silence? Can you teach it? Can you facilitate a relationship with God for others? Baba says actually you are the instruments to forge this relationship of souls with God. And really Baba sees all his children as equal. Really he sees them in their angelic form and he remembers the last kalpa. He remembers their destiny. Becomes very alive in him. And he tries to transmit this memory to us. Remember your destiny. It's your call. Now, I was going to become a monk, and they told me, you know, it says, is this your calling? And I thought, well, you know, I haven't got any call from God, I think, you know. But I feel within me something pulling the soul to something higher. And I think all old souls feel this. Something more in their life. So I think one of the things is to reappreciate who we are, but that'll be more tomorrow. But, you know, reappreciate Baba, who he is, how he is. And because I think, you know, one of the things that makes a relationship go stale is when you take something very extraordinary for granted. I take it for granted. You know, I don't cultivate it. I don't put time and energy into it. I remember Amulya about 4 days ago, Baba was saying, your intellect recognizes the visible and the invisible. Do you remember that statement? Your intellect recognizes the visible and the invisible, whether you have a vision or not. And God is invisible. And this is why it's a little difficult sometimes to make it feel real. But God is subtle, and therefore my intellect has to be able to become that subtle, which only happens really in silence. And when I create a new space, how do you create a new space? A new space in my intellect, a new space in my heart, so that the subtle can really appear. New space only happens through renunciation. I know it's a heavy word sometimes for a lot of people, but it is actually, you know, letting go, letting go. And in that new space, then there'll be something creative will emerge. But if I don't let go, whether, you know, it's thoughts about my old self, whether it's thoughts about others, then that space is clogged up. But anyway, let's get this whole thing of relationship. You know, the drama is based on relationship, isn't it? All it's relationship. Without relationship, we cannot experience two very valuable things, happiness and love. They cannot be experienced without relationship. Peace I can do on my own. But love and happiness require interaction. And a relationship is dead when there's no relevance in it anymore. A relationship, to be fulfilling, has to be relevant, meaningful, and you've got to feel the beloved present. Because if I don't feel that presence of Baba, that presence of God, then gradually, gradually the soul can dry up. But relevant. I have chosen this life. I could have been a Buddhist, couldn't I? I could have been a Muslim. I could have been a Hindu. I could have been something else. Why did I choose this? Why did I choose this path? There must have been a reason. And I think the reason, well, I know for myself, the reason was that God was going to become very relevant in my life. Relevant means that it gives also my life meaning. It's not that I'm going to do another type of bhakti. I'm not going to light, you know, many candles. We do light candles, I know, but the candle inside of awareness, the candle, you know, of remembering, remembering the eternity of this relationship directly with God. If, for example, if I sit and think and be still and quiet, well, the thinking will start to go less and less as you remain still. But then I will start to feel the eternity of this relationship. I will then start to feel it very relevant and meaningful. I will feel that Baba is present, God is present. And Baba says, invoke me and I'm present. Angels are remembered as companions of God. Now, is that a reality for me? Or it's just a very sweet, nice, good idea? Is it idea? Or is it a relevant reality in myself? And I can see when it's just an idea and when it's relevant and meaningful. When it's simply an idea that is sweet and pretty and it attracts me, and I don't go any deeper, then I'm going to find in the long run it's going to be a battle. I will start to have blind faith and even blind obedience. I will not actually really go into it so much that I will never, I will not choose something else. Because when something is relevant and meaningful, it means it's genuine. It's authentic. It's real. It's alive. It gives my life breath. And if something is not real and genuine, if it's alive, I can become a gyani bhagat. You know a gyani bhagat? This again I'll speak about when we talk about formula thinking. But I have to become a gyani, not a gyani bhagat. And the ingredient that is always needed for this is it is the power of silence. To be able to put really again and again touch base with that silent point inside of me. How often do I do that during the day? If you had to make a comparison, how often you go to, you know, use the computer or the telephone compared to how often I connect with my silent point, what would be the percentage? Computer, telephone and silent point. Both are connections, but which do I connect with more? Because if I connect with the material, then, you know, my consciousness is going to be more material, even if I say I'm Brahmin. Do I always need to send an email? Do I practice sending my thoughts and my feelings? Do I think that to organize a program it's going to be just by getting a VIP or getting the right people to do this and that? Is there something, you know, much deeper that is working? You see, when people feel the genuineness of God is with me, when they feel that power, when they feel that spirituality, they cooperate. Because they trust genuineness. You know, if there's not genuineness, there is no trust. And people may externally say yes. This is why so many, sometimes the people that I, you know, we do courses to or bring them here or whatever, you know, something still has to touch them before they, you know, go into it. Okay, you know, I can think, oh, it's number wise and all the souls are different, but I think it's not very healthy to think like that. I think it's always very healthy to think I'm at my, to be at my best and keep that standard. And you know, and souls will always appreciate the purity, and they do, of course they do that. They see it and they feel it. The purity of love, the purity of truth, the purity of my connection with God. And sometimes, you see, when my relationship with God is not genuine deeply, it's not personal, then, you know, I try to be active in other things. You know, writing books, doing this, doing the other, all, you know. I'm saying this not because, you know, service is not valuable. Service is very valuable, very useful. But it is not a substitute for the relationship with Baba. And now at the end of the confluence age, you know, we all have needs, you know. In the golden silver age, the relationships were fulfilled naturally. But that was between human souls. And as a human soul, we still have certain needs in a relationship. And this is why Baba has given us these different words for relationship. For example, one, he says, relationship. Have a relationship only with me. Why? Does he get jealous or what? Because other relationships, on whatever level, will definitely, he said, sabotage you. This is what will happen. They will sabotage, whether it's with a person, a thing, or a role. It will not give you the sense of meaning and relevancy that you're looking for. The feeling of a relationship is partnership. It's the feeling of being complemented. And it is natural for the human soul to look for, you know, it's natural partnership. Lakshmi and Narayan, it's partnership. But the confluence age, there's no Lakshmi and Narayan. So don't look for one, Baba says. Because now I have to connect with the real partner who's going to give me back to myself. No human being has the capacity to do that because they're all in need. And they may be good. They may be good people. Or it may be good things, good service, whatever. But you know, there's good, better, best. You can go from good to better to best, but with God, it is not good, better, best. It's pure. And becomes very clear, good and pure are different. And my intellect needs the discernment to be able to really understand that, because otherwise I get deceived. I get deceived by the good or the better, because I haven't experienced the pure. When I experience the pure, then I can appreciate the good and the better, but not deceived by it. So every time I stop for silence, what is it that I do? Again, that's a bit more tomorrow, but of the 1 second, one thought, do I check how deep I can go and stabilize in that silence and stay there and connect with Baba just with one or two thoughts? Because if I sit passively, or I sit technically, or I sit ritualistically, or I sit bhakti, you know, like, you know, bhaktically, is there such a word in bhakti? It remains superficial. superficial practice does not create meaningful experience. Again and again, out of love, not out of compulsion, not out of direction. Out of love, to be close to the beloved, to be close to my Father. Yes, I create, even for a moment, half a moment, a space of silence. And in that space of silence, I am with you. No ifs, no hows. But if he's not listening, if I, I was angry yesterday, when I anchor myself in those short meditations in the second, and I anchor myself in that silence, I can connect, and then silence is a meaningful silence, a relevant silence. It's the only reason it doesn't happen. There's only one reason. What's that? Bhakti. Yes, it's a. You know what? You know how bhakti develops. It's the truth at one point, or then it's something true there. But gradually, it's just done technically. Whereas Baba's giving me this practice so that naturally I become connected very quickly. But again, as I said, that's more tomorrow. I just want to continue a little bit with this idea of relationship first. It means partnership, complementing. We all need to be complemented. Don't we? Anyone here doesn't? I don't mean complimented or how pretty you are and how clever you are. Not that type of... I mean, complementary is like integrating. And for a Gyani soul, that integration is direct. For a Brahma, it's directly with God. That is the first integration. Everything follows on from that. So this is what relationship is. Partnership, complementing. And then friendship. Friendship is a great blessing because a friend is chosen by you, by me. And I would say that what comes out a lot in friendship is the feeling of equality and trust. I'm using trust a lot because I feel it's one of the things that's been lost completely, hasn't it? You know, people don't trust so easily, especially if they see wrong actions, wrong behavior. But with friendship, you regain trust. And there is equality. And Baba has often said, yes, the proof of your love is you become equal. That is, I'm not in a state of dependency. Whereas like Daddy was saying last night, is there, you just keep saying, I want, I want, I want. Because if I'm in a state of dependency, even with God, then I'm always in a state of, I would say in a state of expectation and irresponsibility. Baba, you make me happy. No, I see people sometimes, they're looking for a parking space and they get a parking space and they said, oh, Baba found me this. I said, I really do think he has better things to do. Really, I do think he has better. I said, you found the parking space because it's Saturday morning. Or maybe, your karma or whatever, I never like to bring, Baba down, as I wouldn't with a friend. I would not do it with a friend. Put him in, trivial things. I would respect that friend. I wouldn't waste their time. Because another thing with friendship is respect. And when there's respect, you don't waste, you don't take it for granted. And that feeling of equality. Equality that I can trust. You know, a good friend can tell you things to your face. And they don't care too much about the consequences because they still love you. They appreciate you. So when Baba says, as I said, you know, monkey intellect. It's good he can tell me, isn't it? Buffalo intellect. Something he says about buffalo. Yeah, you know, stone. Yeah, but actually, it's good. A good friend will tell me because he knows I am much more than this. He knows him much more than this. So I have to be able to appreciate Baba's friendship, and in friendship you can be frank, you can be direct. But people, if they're sensitive, you know, they think, how can God speak like this? But it's again, it's recognition. Baba says often, many look for me, some find me, but very few recognize me as I am. So to recognize how I am really, you know, God's friend. And you know, in the Kalpa I have stacks of friends, stacks of relatives. But in this life, with that one, it's the friend, the partner, the mother, the father, the. It's the, it's not a. And then companionship. Companionship is coming together for a mutual task. I have a purpose. I have a job to do. I have a calling, whatever you like to call it. You know, calling, job, task, seva. But it's sacred. Sometimes I feel with the years, you know, sometimes we've lost the sacredness. Sometimes I'll use this word divinity, but I think we're used to more the word sacred. Sacred in the sense that it is spiritually unique. Spiritually unique, yes. And that's what the task is. It is really the task of the deepest compassion and the deepest charity that I can do, first to myself, but also to Mother Nature, to the elements, and to my human family. The task of renewing, returning back to the original. Baba's whole work is to make us return back to the original. I'm a companion in his task, angelic. Do you remember? You know, silence, if I go deep in silence, it jogs my memory. Yes. Remember, yes. Lately, Baba, I mean, he always says it, but lately I've noticed a lot, says, every cycle this happens. And Brahma Baba used to say, nothing new. Nothing new, but always new. Because I recreate it, I re-experience it. I feel the biggest block in fulfilling the relationship with God is ordinariness and lack of appreciation. We miss the sacred. When we were at the European Teachers Meeting, this is one thing that Francois brought up, was about this, the secrets of the sacred. I thought, this is a very good title for something. I said, you know, not another book. No, definitely not. But that spiritual uniqueness is going to be naturally serving the elements, naturally serving others, naturally serving nature. So, companionship with God is linked to my personal destiny. But, you know, sometimes when you're sitting at the computer, you don't think of these words, do you? Destiny, sacredness, you just got, you know, a program to do, you know, talk here, class here, write, type out this. You know, this otherworldly feeling goes away. Things become, you know, banal. Things become just very ordinary. And so it is my inner silence that keeps me connected to the sacredness of the task that I perform as an instrument of the Father for all eternity. This is a very fulfilling element in the relationship with Baba. That is, my life has an eternal purpose. It's not only to give a course, you know. It's not only to give the lecture. And Baba was saying it in the Mauli. He said, you know, it's the atmosphere. Atmosphere is not created by words. It's created by attitude. It's created by the inner world, the secret world, the silent world of attitudes and thoughts and feelings. And so, you know, one of the first steps, either to regenerate the sacredness or regenerate the meaningfulness of my relationship with Baba, with God, is to be able to reflect. On a daily basis, because reflection keeps things fresh. Whether that reflection is about God, whether that reflection is a particular dana I have to do, freshness, newness comes from the ability to reflect. Power, sacredness, angelic, subtle, that comes from the power to contemplate. But as I said, more of this later. What I'd like to do now, I don't know if you like to do it, but it's actually reflecting on some questions. Where is it? To the right, is it where it's got home? Oh, you know, they told me about PowerPoint. Yes, this is something to know Baba deeply. These are some things I've sort of taken up. No, not that, it's the question one. Yeah, that's it, yes. I'm going to read them out as well. But before I get into this, is there anything you would like to ask? Yes. Will they be able to get the PowerPoint? Yes. But anything on anything that has said that you'd like to clarify? Is the microphone there available? Simple question, yeah? How do I define relevant and meaningful? When I think of something meaningful, it means like it is, you know, it has a foundation. It's what I give myself to. It's meaningful for me. It's not I just do things from a routine. So in that way, it's meaningful. It's taking me somewhere that I want to go to. I'm not just pulled along by the flock. It's nice to be in the flock, but it's not good to be just pulled by the flock. And relevant is how it pertains or expresses itself or is applied in my daily life. It's relevant to me. It's not just relevant to others or because Baba says, well, it's relevant to me. It's something that pertains to daily living. The question was about companionship with God, linked with your personal destiny, in terms of the task together of upliftment of the world, of renewal, of bringing things back to the original. So knowing Baba and this relationship with Baba is not that like I will sit there every day 8 hours in yoga. Well, that's a bit difficult anyway, but you know, it's not, you know, just yoga. It's also expression. You know, when for example, when a poet looks at a sunset, you know, the beautiful thing is the contemplation of it, just being absorbed in it, it's very beautiful. But usually then after that, there's an expression, usually writing something. So the connection with Baba, yes, I experience him as my partner, as the friend, but then something to do together. And that doing is, it is service. That's the task. That's my personal destiny, the spiritual task. Anything else? I can't see so well from up here, but you can just speak. Well, you know, for myself, before I do something, it's like, you know, I'm sharing this course with all of you, you know, I have to see why, you know, how relevant is it going to be that it should be worthwhile. And some, you know, I think of Baba and saying, you know, and not saying, but just that thought, you know, one can say 1,000 things, but what are the things that are going to be really relevant and meaningful? And so, you know, again, this is this connection, you know, it's like a part of you is there outside, and there's a part of you, there's always this word sacred, it's a sacred point inside the self that is always the observer. No matter how much you're talking, no matter how much you're in action, there's that observer point, that sacred point that is connected with Baba, with the self, or sometimes just silence. Depends. So, you know, we get like fully into something, emotionally, intellectually, and then we get entangled. There may be good results, but I may be a bit of a mess after it. You know, we forget this sacredness, we forget this point where I'm here because Baba has invited me, my own karma has opened my intellect to be able to understand God and therefore create a just that I have to be very attentive that the silence is not passive, you know? Passive silence doesn't generate power. Passive silence has a whole thing, you know, yeah, I'm just quiet and I can't really be bothered. Sometimes it's like that. Or it's just blankness. Blankness or routine thing. You know, it's got to be creative silence. It's another quality. There's one more question. This will be the last one because I'm going to give time again today for others, you know, other questions. It's, you know, it's quite a big group, so I can't make it as, you know, informal as I had thought it would be.
Is there a mic?
Is there another mic?
Om Shanti. As we can see from the foregoing, the benchmark for everything, whether relationship with God, practice of Shrimat, or practice of soul consciousness, amounts to achieving purity first. Now, can you describe any filtration process? Now, purity comprises a flow of thoughts, where you can filter all these thoughts, and only the pure thoughts remain on the top. Rest everything gets drained out. Thank you.
From what I understood, and I've understood properly, it's how to elevate our thought, wasn't it? Anyway, I find, you know, even the pure thoughts coming to the top and draining out won't happen automatically. Actually, I've got to be an observer. Remember that? So I'm a soul. That's the sacred point. I'm a soul. I'm an observer. And I observe my mind. And then, you know, I allow some thoughts either to progress into attitude and feelings, or I stop them. I stop them. I just will not go in that direction. But now, that's more to do with a dharana, eh? A dharana, particular dharanas, which is a bit of another discussion. This is now creating thoughts that reach God, that help me to connect with God. And one of the basic things of having, it's creative silence, means the connective silence. That silence is connected, connects me, and therefore it naturally transforms me. But the basis of having that type of silence where I am connected with Baba, with God, is actually faithful thought. Thought that is created is filled with faith and trust. Because if it's not, it's like then the gravity pulls me down. Whether it's the gravity of ordinariness, the gravity of... sometimes even... I can have another thought of knowledge or another thought of service. It may not be bad thoughts at all, but it's not supposed to interfere. Other thoughts are not supposed to interfere when I'm connecting with my partner, when I'm connecting with my friend. Those thoughts are for me to plug in, to integrate. So it's not the time for me to think of other thoughts of knowledge, because sometimes it's not waste bad thoughts that actually can interfere in this subtle connection. And a thought filled with, how's it expressed? A thought filled with faith and trust when I'm connecting with Baba. And even the word Baba, have you thought about it deeply, or has it become, you know, a word that I just keep using, like sugar or pepper or something? I mean, have I revitalized its meaning to me? That's what its meaningfulness is. It's, you know, its meaningfulness to me, it's revitalized. It's not on the same level all the time. And Baba has often said, you know, the service is you reveal the Father through your face. You know? And you wonder sometimes, according to the faces, it's not a hard job. It says, like Bob says, be you. That's all. Be your real you, though, right? Your original you. And so, faithful and trusting thought is, you know, father, friend, whatever I like to use. But I've thought about it before. This is what we're going to do in the next session another time. Is I'm with you. Now, how will I get there? What colour are you? You know, is it, you know, big world, little world? Is it really orange? Is it dark pink? Whatever. You skip all this. It's not necessary. Now, people ask me, well, you know, how can I have yoga? You know, what if when Baba's here, and who's there in the soul world, and who's there in the angelic world? Is it Brahma? Is it you know, this, that. So why do you think about that? A faithful thought, a genuine thought, reaches God wherever God may be. Bhagats do it all the time. Yes, bhakti song, bhakats just do it all the time. And they even have the wrong identity. But God still responds. Yeah, he's a vision of a monkey, God. That's what you believe. But it's a genuine, the soul has a genuine feeling. Genuine feelings, the honesty of a feeling, the faithfulness of a feeling, of a thought, is reaches Baba, reaches God. So he fulfills. So people can have, it happens in copper age, iron age, the whole time. And it's fulfilled. It's fulfilled. So why should I worry where he is, how he is? Is he with Brahma? Is he paying more attention to Brahma? Is he, you know, doing this? Is he going to Australia now? Is it, why? Think this. We clog up. So just, you know, faithful, trusting thought. He's my father, my friend, my partner. He's listening. And then be quiet. Not rush. Okay? So, this is now some time for yourself, some personal reflection time. And these questions are to stimulate something inside. I say something. It could be, you know, consciousness, it could be, you know, certain thoughts, certain feelings. But again, it's the question is like a key to make me go deep into revitalizing and re-realizing some things for myself. Because sometimes people ask me, you know, where do you get these new thoughts? And you know, this is what I do. You know, I give time. No matter how busy I may be, I give time to being quiet and silent. And you have an expression, I don't know if it's simply in Australia or in English, doodling. You know, you doodle. You know, you just write and doodle. I like doing that. I doodle sometimes just in the mind. And is it like, take a phrase, take a thought and keep it. So, you know, the questions stimulate that more subtle side of understanding and therefore new experience. Otherwise, I will not stimulate myself. Without some kind of inquiry, I will not stimulate myself into newness. You know, you see the advances in science, in arts, and things. People, medicine, stimulation, inquiry. So it's very, very, very useful. So these are the questions. So I'm going to read them out, and those of you, you know, who don't know English, and it's going to be translated, I'll do it slowly. So, because the idea is, just to be on your own now. You can stay here or go outside, use the bathroom if you like, because it's all 3 hours all the way through. But you really don't speak to others if you want to get a full benefit of this, you know, because chatter and tattle damage the sacred, to put it bluntly. So, first one, at this moment in your life, question one, at this moment in your life, think of 4 or 5 ways that God is truly relevant in your life. And it may take time. It's supposed to take time. It may take 5 minutes, 7 minutes. I read it again. At this moment in your life, think of 4 or 5 ways that God is truly relevant in your life. And two, is there anything you would like to know more deeply, more personally about God? Anything? Is there anything you would like to know more deeply, more personally about God? Anything? And three, which sanskara of God do you cherish the most? Describe what it means to you. Three, which sanskara of God do you cherish the most? Describe what it means to you. Is that okay? Any? It's clear? So, now it's, we'll have just a few moments meditation now, and then till about 25 past 11, then we can come back. So those of you who want to stay here can stay here, but in silence, either go somewhere or stay here in about 25 past 11, come back. Okay, so just let's practice this connected silence. Just sit very relaxed. Let me relax my mind, my feelings. I slow down. Gently. I concentrate on the center of my forehead, on the point of peace, of power. I breathe. I relax my breath. As I relax my breath, my thought I become still. Completely still and quiet. My thought and my breath connect. Peace. Peace. Sacred point within, that sacred point of serenity that fills my being with stillness and tranquility. let me now remain. With a thought, I am with you, my beloved friend. Eternally I belong to you. Eternally, and in this second, my joy is to be here with you. Be here with you. It's the joy and the fulfillment of my being. Baba, I am yours. In deep love, you give me back to myself. Now, in silence, I remain here with you. Only with you. Unseen, unheard, invisible, powerful, real. I connect with you, with my feelings. In the silence, in the pure silence of your home, Baba, friend, father, mother. Just to be with you has been the search for many lives. Just to be here with you in this moment. In this thought. Stillness. belonging. Eternal belonging. Go out now and come back actually about 20 to 12. Huh? Just remember to keep the silence for your reflection. So back at around 20 to 12. Om Shanti.